Welcome back to the Deep Dive. You know, if you followed tech for any length of time, you really know the annual routine.
Oh, yeah. The new year hits, CES happens.
And it's the same tired cycle, right?
Yes.
A slightly thinner TV, a marginally faster phone chip.
Maybe a concept car with a few more LEDs on it.
Exactly. It's usually just a game of incremental progress. But the stack of sources we've been digging through this week on CES 2026, it tells a completely different story.
A really disruptive one.
It's the consensus across all the analyst reports we saw.
Mm-hmm.
The traditional gadget formula is dead. We're not talking about faster components anymore.
Yeah.
We are seeing a fundamental paradigm shift in technology's actual form factor. So our mission today is to do a deep dive into these reports to show you exactly how computing is leaving that black rectangular screen.
And just aggressively entering your physical world.
We're looking at the prototypes that are going to define the next decade of tech.
That is the critical distinction here. What's really insightful about this year's show is this complete convergence of two massive trends that were, previously separate.
Okay, what are they?
So first we have the mature rise of what they're calling embodied AI.
Embodied AI.
Yeah, this is AI that's not just in the cloud or on your phone anymore. It's physically manifested. It's getting high fidelity eyes, ears, specialized sensors. It can perceive the world around it.
And the second trend?
The second is this engineering goal of making technology fundamentally invisible.
So blending into the background.
Exactly. Blending into the environment, anticipating what you need, and just working for you without you having to press a button.
So we're moving from tech that demands we interact with it to tech that just sort of observes and assists.
Precisely. And if you are, preparing for a business meeting or you're just looking to stay ahead of the curve, you need this context. Because these are functional prototypes. They're the ancestors of the devices everyone will be using in, say, 5 years. Every credible source we reviewed said that.
Okay, let's unpack this. And let's start with maybe the most literal example of embodied AI. The one rolling right into your living room.
Samsung Bally 2.0.
Yes, Bally 2.0. We all remember the original, right? That cute little yellow pet bot concept.
Yeah, it was adorable.
Well, our sources say throw that cute image right out the window. The new version is being called a technological beast, and for good reason.
It has to justify its existence, beyond just being a novelty.
And the sources are clear. It's designed as a matter-connected home guardian.
Right. Let's pause on that phrase, matter-connected.
Good idea. For listeners who might not have tracked smart home standards, what does that really mean in this context?
It means it speaks the universal language. Matter is the new unified standard, so Bally isn't just a Samsung device.
You can talk to everything?
It can seamlessly manage and communicate with all your devices, lights, locks, thermostats, whatever the brand. It's a central autonomous command node, a guardian that coordinates the whole digital ecosystem in your house.
And the most surprising upgrade for this guardian is its senses. Its new eyes and ears.
And it's not just better cameras.
No. It's getting digital olfaction. And e-nose. It can smell.
Which is a huge leap. Because smell is one of the most immediate indicators of danger in an environment.
How so?
The e-nose is designed to detect what are called volatile organic compounds, or VOCs. That means it can spot the smell of, say, burning foo way before your normal smoke detector triggers.
Or gas leak.
Or gas leak.
Okay, wait. If this thing is rolling around sniffing everything, am I going to get constant false alarms? Huh. Is my breakfast sausage going to trigger a home emergency every morning?
That's the AI challenge they have to solve. And the sources suggest they're focusing on known danger signatures. Things like methane or precursors to carbon monoxide, not just general cooking smells.
Okay, that makes sense.
But the utility goes beyond that. One source mentioned it could sniff out spoiled groceries in the fridge or even mold growth in a hidden corner.
So it's an air quality and safety monitor combined. It gives the home an environmental awareness it just never had before.
Right. And that's fascinating, but it gets even more useful when you think about it as an interface. It has this incredible follow me projector built in.
A 1080p projector that follows you around the house.
Yeah. And the brilliance is the seamless integration. The AI knows where you're looking, maybe at a blank wall or the ceiling while you're on the couch.
And it just casts the information there.
Exactly. Your phone rings, the video call appears on the wall you're facing, your calendar updates scroll across the kitchen counter while you're making coffee.
It just eliminates that mental drag of having to find a screen every time you need something.
The screen comes to you.
And then it disappears. That's truly invisible tech.
And this guardian role is really secured by one of the least intrusive sensors they've packed in there, MMWR radar.
Tell us why radar is so much more powerful than a camera for this specific job.
Well, the sources explain that MMWR radar tracks movement, speed, even really subtle vibrations.
Things a camera would miss.
Right. It allows Bally to track the heart rate and breathing patterns of, say, an elderly relative. It can notice if they've fallen or if their vitals are just erratic.
And crucially, it does this without invasive high-res cameras.
That's the key. You're sacrificing that high-fidelity visual data that, you know, raises huge privacy concerns.
For essential, continuous health data that just needs to track motion and frequency, it's a much more palatable trade-off for monitoring.
Absolutely. They've taken a concept that started as a toy and turned it into a core health and safety node for the smart home.
And that removal of the traditional screen brings us perfectly to the second massive theme from CES 2026.
The death of the physical monitor.
Yes. This is where it gets really interesting. Companies are finding ways to turn the physical world itself into an operating system.
It's the next stage of spatial computing, but, and this is huge for mass adoption, they're doing it without making you strap a headset to your face.
We're seeing companies like Exkimi and Anker rolling out these highly advanced spatial AI projectors. How are they more than just a fancy movie machine?
It's all in the eyes they've given the projector. The reports detail that these things are equipped with LiDAR and tough time of flight sensors.
Okay, break that down.
Think of the difference between a photo and a blueprint. A normal projector just throws a 2D image. But LiDAR and 2Fi, they blast the room with millions of light points and measure how long it takes for them to bounce back.
So it's building a real-time, high-definition 3D map of the space.
Exactly. The projector doesn't just see a surface, it sees the geometry. It knows this is a vertical wall, this is a horizontal table. It understands surfaces and depth.
Which lets the projection interact intelligently with the room.
And once it understands that geometry, the projection becomes fully interactive. You can project a virtual keyboard onto your dining table.
Or a detailed 3D model on the floor.
And because that ToF sensor is continuously tracking your hands and fingers, you can interact with that projected interface with incredibly precise gestures.
So not just waving your arms.
No, you can scroll through a recipe projected on your kitchen backsplash with just a flick of your finger, or draw on a tabletop, treating the surface like a giant temporary touchscreen.
But is the responsiveness there? I mean, trying to type on glass is always a little laggy. Is this system fast enough to feel tactile?
That's been the huge hurdle. But the breakthrough is pairing that high-speed processing with the millimeter-level accuracy from the sensors. The sources are suggesting the latency is now low enough that it feels almost instantaneous.
Which you need to eliminate that frustrating mismatch when you tap a projected button.
It turns any surface into a temporary computer.
Now, if projectors are turning the world into a screen, the transparent laptop is the other side of that coin. It's trying to make the screen itself disappear.
Lenovo's Project Crystal.
Which was just a concept, but is reportedly coming to production. And the core challenge is always making the screen bright enough while still letting you see through it.
Right. OLED failed. It just couldn't get bright enough. The solution they adopted, according to our sources, was to switch to very expensive micro-LED technology.
Micro-LED. I know that's the next big thing in displays, but why does that enable transparency?
It comes down to scale. Micro-LEDs are incredibly tiny, self-emissive light points. Think of it like a constellation of microscopic stars, not a solid sheet of light.
I see.
By making the individual emitters so small and spacing them out a tiny bit, they get massive brightness up to 1,000 nits while keeping that crucial 55% transparency.
Because there are literal physical gaps between the pixels for light to pass through.
You got it. So it's bright enough to use in a well-lit room and transparent enough to look through when you're not using it.
And the most powerful use case they highlighted was for professionals, architects, designers.
Exactly. They can literally hold the laptop up against a construction site or a piece of machinery and instantly overlay their digital schematics onto the physical object.
It connects the digital idea.
The invisibility extends to the keyboard, too. It's a capacitive glass pane that just disappears when you pick up a stylus.
Turning the whole surface into one giant, transparent drawing tablet. It's all about utility without obstruction.
It's a stunning piece of engineering, but for you keeping score at home, yes, the sources were unanimous.
That's going to be expensive.
This tech is cutting edge, and the price will reflect it. Expect this to start well over $3,000 at launch. It's a professional tool first.
That makes sense. Let's shift gears now to technologies that are even more personal, the ones designed to anticipate your needs, not just wait for you to interact.
We're moving into the human-computer interface.
With neural wearables, we're talking about high-end consumer headphones that merge brain-computer interface, BCI, with standard audio gear.
And this is a monumental shift. Until very recently, BCI meant, you know, surgically implanted electrodes or messy gel-filled caps in a lab.
Right.
These new devices, though, have dry EEG sensors, electroencephalography sensors, and they're just located passively in the ear cups. They read your brain's electrical signals right through the skin.
So they aren't trying to make me play video games with my thoughts. They're just reading my mental state.
Precisely. Passively sensing your brain state. And the reports detail two incredibly functional scenarios based on this real-time detection.
Okay, scenario one, detecting deep focus.
Right. So if the headphones sense a high concentration state, a brainwave signature that basically says, I'm doing complex work and I am fully in the zone.
They act on their own.
Immediately. They automatically silence your phone notifications, they boost the active noise cancellation, and subtly adjust the audio profile to something that enhances focus. All without you pressing a single button.
They're optimizing your work environment for you preemptively. What's the second scenario?
The opposite state. Stress. If the device senses elevated stress, which is indicated by shifts in specific brainwave frequencies, it pivots. It might automatically change the EQ of your music to a more soothing mix, or even cue up a guided breathing exercise.
It's proactively managing your emotional and cognitive load.
It is.
But that level of intimate integration raises a critical question.
Yeah.
How quickly will people adapt to technology making decisions based on brain activity?
That's the frontier they're exploring.
I mean, what if it gets my mental state wrong? What if I'm just intensely focused, but the headphones think it's high anxiety and start playing whale songs at me?
And that's the core challenge. It's trust. It's one thing for a smart thermostat to decide the temperature. It's another for a device to decide you need to calm down.
It requires a profound level of user confidence.
Absolutely. We're moving toward a future where the device knows more about your focus level than you do.
That internal integration theme continues with the health segment, too, building on the foundation from things like the Samsung Galaxy Ring.
Right. CES 2026 is focusing on specialized next-gen health rings.
These are Gen 2 devices.
And they are leveraging miniaturization for a very specific and really critical health leap. They have these advanced photodiode arrays that target continuous blood pressure monitoring.
That is massive. Blood pressure monitoring is usually that inflatable cuff. It's cumbersome. It's disruptive.
It's awful.
How are they doing this from a tiny ring on your finger?
They're using something called pulse wave analysis, or PWA.
Okay.
Think of your heart beating. It sends a wave of force through your arteries. The sensor in the ring measures the speed and the shape of that pressure wave as it travels through your finger.
And what does that tell it?
The faster the pulse wave travels, generally, the stiffer the arteries and the higher the blood pressure.
So by continuously measuring that wave, the ring can track hypertension trends 24/7 without ever needing to squeeze your arm.
Exactly. For the millions of people who need to track this daily, this provides continuous, comprehensive data. It signals the end of those bulky traditional cuffs.
It takes a really irritating health chore and makes it totally ambient, invisible.
It turns a reactive snapshot of your health into a proactive, continuous narrative.
So when we synthesize this entire deep dive from the Bally Guardian to the transparent laptop to these BCI wearables, what's the single biggest takeaway for our listener? So what does this all mean?
It means that every major tech company is aggressively pursuing invisibility.
Right.
And they're doing it in two distinct ways. First, by blending tech into the physical world, making the environment the interface, like with the spatial projectors.
And second.
And second, by blending technology into our cognitive space, anticipating our needs, managing our focus without us even thinking about it, like the neural wearables.
So the era of the all-powerful black rectangle, the screen that dominated the last 20 years, it's truly ending.
Absolutely. The trend is prioritizing context and environment over just raw computational power. And as the sources concluded, while the initial prices will be high, these are not gimmicks.
Mm.
They are functional prototypes. They're the true ancestors of computing in 2030. Devices that care more about how the world around you operates than the speed of the chip inside the box.
Which leaves us with a final provocative thought, building on that merging of BCI and invisible tech.
Mm.
If technology is increasingly designed to monitor, anticipate, and manage your focus, to silence distractions or lower your stress without you ever consciously engaging with it, at what point does invisible technology stop being a tool and just become the background soundtrack of your life?
Something to think about.
Something for you to mull over as we watch this new era of proactive AI unfold.